Okay. I'm very excited today.
I'm excited. What? Is it what?
Yeah,
okay, I'm very excited today. The reason I'm excited, first of all, because Zach's here right in front of me. Woo! I'm very excited because Reb Simcha Rabba is here as well. Woo!
Between these two,
yeah, right. And ultimately, yeah, it's all a hachana, You know, we did Morty. Why? You want to do Morty again? You can do Morty. In all honesty, I'm very excited because I wasn't planning on this today. Usually before I come down here, believe it or not, when I say come down here, because I'm coming from my office, but usually I at least a few seconds or a few moments, but for real, I think about like the theme, what's the theme of today? And usually I have time to think about like what's the theme. And, you know, it's hard for us to say, you know, there's one consistent thing that we talk about, that we chazer over, that we review. But if I could say one of the pillars of what this yeshiva is about, what this shir is about, is really a line that I could show anybody from the Evan Shlema, who's the Vilna Gaon, the Gra. And he says a very strong statement, and I think that that's definitely one of the pillars of what this shir is about, and what this yeshiva is about, and what life is about. I mean, he says what life is about, and that is, if a person doesn't work on himself, he says it in Hebrew, it's a likud of what he says, but if a person doesn't work on himself, and we'll explain what working on yourself means, I was going to say break yourself, because that's what he says, but that's already, you know, it's called Shviras Hamidus, but we're not going to say that because that might be not understood. Work on yourself, we'll explain as well. Lama li chayim. Meaning, what are we on this world to do? We spoke a little bit about it yesterday. Is that if I don't have problems, so what's life about? Right? What's life about? And it's hard for us because we don't want nisyonis. We even say that in our davening, v'lo lidei nisayon. We don't want nisyonos. We want to chill. We want to relax, especially our generation. And I mean that. Our generation, meaning myself included. We're not in the Holocaust, Baruch Hashem. We're not, right? The average age, if you look this up, the average age, I think in the 30s or the 40s, was like, you know, 100 years ago, the average age of a person was like 40 or 50, maybe. Could be 40. Average age that a person would live his life, right? Now, Bli Ayin Hara, Baruch Hashem, the average age is like 80 years old, right? Something like that. So I'm saying, the life that we live is a life, and someone once said this, and it's so true, is that we're like the generation of healing. We're the generation that we're able to go to therapy, and we're able to have mindfulness, and we're able, right? It used to be, I don't know, I mean, I grew up with the Holocaust, you know, hearing about it all the time, but it used to be like you're just fighting for your life. It was about survival. Now our life is more about healing. It's about understanding ourselves. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. And I think that one of the themes of this shir and us being together is that we want to know ourselves better. We want to be honest with ourselves. We want to understand ourselves. We want to work on ourselves. So why am I saying it? Yes, Avrami.
I feel like nowadays, the way the world is designed, like it's designed for us not to feel. And to, like, that's why I feel like therapy is so important.
Nice.
Nowadays, like with the phones and like
nice.
The way everything is, rock and modern, like, you don't feel the room. You don't feel the, like,
nice.
There's no feeling.
Nice.
Everything's designed. Just, like,
nice.
not feel.
Nice.
And I feel like it's very important to have therapy.
Nice. Especially beautiful. Beautiful. I do want to say something on that. And I'm saying this on purpose, even though Reb Simcha Rabbah is here. And that is that it's not so much about therapy. It's ironic that I'm saying this, right, Gabi? We just spoke about this. It's not so much about the therapy as much as that's just another tool. I know many people who go to therapy, but they're not getting to what they need to. It's more an environment. That's a piece of it, but 100% of it. I mean, I'm not a resource. It's a tool, but 100%, 100% in relationships. Now, the reason I'm saying that is that you're definitely not a guest. Anyone who knows Gabi, which you get to know him, get his number, especially after you're going to hear a little bit, I don't know what part of his story he's going to say. He's got a lot of a story besides the fact that he was in yeshiva here, besides the fact that he was in Kollel here, besides the fact that he served in the army, besides the fact that he's had a very, very, very deep, meaningful, crazy, sorry to use that term, as he'll say a little bit, crazy journey. He's been through a lot in many ways. And he's someone who, in my opinion, epitomizes what life is about, which is, besides the fact that this is like old story, you know, he read, I don't know what it's up to now, but I remember in yeshiva, in the old Beis Medrash, I think, shouting you out about the 40, right, that one year, what was it, that year in the year in the army. So the year in the army, he read like 40, you know, self-help books or something like that. But that's like cute stuff for what he's going to talk about. That's all. So I didn't have to prepare really what I was going to say because Gabi came from Ramat Beit Shemesh. I was honored that he came to speak. We haven't spoken in a while to reconnect. And as we were talking, I'm like, hey, I have a great idea. Why don't you speak to the yeshiva? Why don't you talk to the guys? So without further ado.
The same way that Rebbe didn't prepare, I didn't prepare. I have no idea what I'm going to say, but we'll do our best. So I think I'll focus on the cancer. 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma. It was a tumor on the left side of my heart, the size of a tennis ball. I was diagnosed here in Israel. I was sent to America for treatment. Baruch Hashem, chemo worked, and Baruch Hashem, crazy, Siyata Shema, how I got to America, all that stuff. And towards the end, I was intubated. I caught something called CMV because I was so immunosuppressed. My lungs stopped working, so I had no oxygen to my brain. So they put me out for 6 days. The doctors told my father, they're like, say goodbye. Like, this guy, the next step is a body bag. Like, the machines were on full blast. There's nothing else we could do. So daven. The guy's like, bring people to say goodbye. My father looked at him, he's like, you do your job, you find medicine, I'll do my job. We'll dive in, and Baruch Hashem, I'm here to tell the story. So throughout the process of getting sick with such intense sickness, there's many challenges, physical, emotional, spiritual, all that stuff. But a challenge that the theme of this yeshiva kind of helped me is keep the main thing the main thing. Meaning, when I first got sick, I'm like, okay, Asher Yatzar Bechavana, Dafi Omi Bechavana, let's learn more of this, let's talk about this, let's learn this, let's take that upon myself, let's wake up, a million things. But then, the main thing, which is what Rabbi teaches day and night, is to be a good husband. I was lacking like crazy. I was Shana Rishona. Mind you, my wife was 6 months pregnant, she was hitting her third trimester, and I made her cry. you know, the third trimester is supposed to be all about the wife. Yeah, your baby's coming. Let's prepare the house. Let's go buy a stroller. Let's make it all fun, fun. But I wasn't able to do that. More than that, I was hurting her feelings. When I was in America, I met a guy in Nebuch. He had a similar story than I did. He actually came out of it, started a huge organization, but after he got out of it, he was divorced. He was by himself because he was so lalemu. But I'm just saying, it's a theme that cancer patients have because of their medications, because of all the things that hormones mess with you, and you end up fighting for no reason. Things tick you off. I remember talking to Rebbe before I flew to the States, and Rebbe's like, "Your only avoda throughout this process is to be a good husband." Because if you're a good husband, then, and you have a good relationship with your wife, you better have a good relationship with Hashem, because it's a three-way. It's not just you and your wife. It's you, your wife, and Hashem. So, by you being a good husband, you actually are doing everything that you set out to accomplish, but more. Because now you're also living in a harmonious lifestyle. So, Baruch Hashem, that's what I did, and it literally saved my marriage. I'm not. So thank you for saving my marriage.
If I could just say one thing, when Gabi told me this for the first time, before you explained like how good it was, I was like, "That's what I told him." I remember like here he's sick and he's calling like, or I don't remember the exact conversation, and that's what I told him. So I'm not really taking credit for it because it was b'schus, whatever siyata d'shmaya he had. But I can't believe I said something so crazy like that. But anyway.
It was interesting because when I was going through cancer, physically I might not have been there, I might not have been as strong, but emotionally and spiritually, I felt way stronger than I've ever been in my life while going through cancer. Which is ironic because when you're a soldier, you think you're running through the mountains with guns and you think you're all Mr. Macho, but for some reason, it was the opposite. So, I'm not sure where to take this. I'm not sure.
Questions,
guys.
Maybe take questions?
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to.
Anyone ask questions?
Questions or...
Were you upset at God?
That's a good question.
All right.
Good question.
2 hours
straight. I was upset at God. Yeah, yes, definitely. But I'm saying there was this... Actually, I remember that when it happened, there was a time of like where I completely released all trying to gain control. Because in such a hectic situation, like the more control you try to grab onto, at least for me, I was getting more and more anxious. And the more I'm trying to like, no, I need to... I started creating this atmosphere which was not fun to be around and not fun to be in. So yes, in the beginning stages, but then it just kind of started biting me. It didn't work out. And thank God, also very early on, I had the guidance of Rebbe of saying, be the best husband you could be, which is weird. But yeah.
What does it take to be a good husband while being a cancer patient that, you know, other people get messed over and like, you know, what?
What does it take? Biting your lip. Keeping it in. And actually a big thing was not to judge my wife based on how I would react in such a situation, meaning I'm a different type of person who she is, and I expected her to do exactly what I would have done in such a situation. But to see her through the lens of her husband just got diagnosed, she's in her third trimester, she's also coping. You know, see her for who she is and what she's doing and what she's going through. And not to be, okay, big whoop, you have cancer. Very nice. Okay, there's many people with cancer. But let's be a cancer patient with a good marriage. Let's be a cancer patient with a good relationship. It's tough. Don't get me wrong. It's tough. There's times I wanted to take this. But no, I'm saying it's not a walk in the park. I'm saying especially with the medications and nausea and this, that. But also her. And it's a lot of communication. It boils down to communication saying, sweetie, I need some time right now. I can't be there for you right now. Give me a day or two. Let me recover. Let's wait till the chemo comes out. And we got to a place where open communication and a lot of davening. A lot of siyata d'shmaya. That's a great question. Thank you.
Okay, question.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say, I work in
Camp Simcha
in Israel, and there's a lot of cancer patients there. And I had a really meaningful conversation with one of the campers. He told me, being surrounded with so much negativity, if that would have went into him, if he you have seen the negativity, he said he would have died. I would have been done. I would have let the cancer take over my body. This is one of the reasons I'm here today, is because I was positive throughout the journey. And I told myself every time I can make it, I love myself. This is my life, and I'm going to recover. I want to know if you felt there's something like that on
your journey. It's funny that you bring it up, but it's every word you're saying is completely true. To the utmost sense of truth, to an extent where I went to cancer camp, and they called it a Shabbaton for just cancer patients. And there was this guy that, oh, he was also from Israel. So like they're like, oh, you should talk to each other. And it felt like when we were talking, it felt like he wanted to prove that he's having it harder, like his cancer is tougher. I'm like, bro, no one cares. I'm like, no one cares they have cancer. Very nice. I gave him the whole spiel about be a good husband, this, that, that. And also, I gave him like, dude, positivity.
How do you apply that to our lives?
Ooh.
The things we're going through and our emotional.
You know, it's what I find it easier there because you're so in it. I'm still trying to figure out also like to getting back into life, like how to implement the stuff that I learned there into day to day life. Because there, it's so big. Like being faced with death is so big and. You don't know what takes. Like I'm saying, it's everything. It takes over everything. So I don't know. It's a tough question. I don't know how to answer that. How do I don't know. Just be happier alive. A lot of gratitude. I remember I did Kids of Courage way back a couple of like 5 years, 6 years ago, and I remember before I went to Kids of Courage, I was in a very not good place, depressed. I did not find myself. It was after the army. I was very lost. The Yiddish guy. It was very confusing for me. I went for 2 weeks and I just gave myself over to this kid that was in a wheelchair. He was my age, and he's like, oh, I'm dying in 2-3 years. That's where I'm going. And if you're able to give yourself fully and a lot of gratitude, you're able to see like what you have. I think that helps gratitude. That's it. That's a great question. I'll have to think about it more and find more. Yeah, but yeah.
How do you stay positive when the doctors tell you you're going to die?
So thank God I didn't have doctors saying that you're going to die. It wasn't that bad. I mean, it was that bad, but they didn't say those words. They had a little bit more tact, that bedside manner. Actually, when I was diagnosed, like literally the doctor comes in and he's like, oh, you have cancer. And like me and my wife are crying, bawling, this, that. And as I'm crying, he's like, oh, so the side effects are hair loss, this, that. I'm like, can I have a second to process? So how do you stay positive? So let's change it. If I'm a negative person about to die, as my attitude, like, what did I gain from being negative? Meaning, it's not just I'm faced with this huge thing, which is, you know, faced with possible death. Now I'm negative. I'm on antidepressants. I'm on anti-anxiety medication. I'm pissing off my wife. I'm pissing off my daughter. Pissing off my parents. So the way I turned it was like, so afuch. I'm saying like I'm ruining myself. I'm making it even more intense for myself by being negative. That's the way I saw it. But more what you were saying to the guy that I met at cancer camp, he ended up getting it a second time. And I remember when I met him recently, he's like, don't you miss being sick? I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, they give you treats, people take you out, people buy you stuff. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm saying he got it again, and his matzav isn't the greatest. When I was going through chemo, I wouldn't take off my shoes. The way it works is that you go in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, it's a 6-7 hour regimen of medication, so I'm there till like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You have a bed, you know, I'm attached to the machines, and they're just dripping the chemotherapy in. And I would wear my sneakers, I would wear my shoes, I would wear my slippers, I wouldn't take them off. And they're like, dude, take it off. I'm like, I'm here to visit. This is not my place. I'm here to visit. This is not where I belong. I'm here to get my medication, and I'm leaving. They asked, you want to call? It was in New York. I was in Sloan Kettering. They're like, here's a warm blanket. I'm like, no. There was one time, actually, it was a blizzard outside. I took a blanket. There was one time. But I'm like, I always came with a coat. I would sleep with a coat on, nauseous, half dead, on a ton of drugs. Just this. Take a blanket. The nurse would fight with me. I'm like, no. I'm not getting comfortable in your cancer stuff. I'm not getting comfortable here. We got to move on.
Any other
What if you, like,
what are some of you taking out of it when you finish with all the therapy and everything was good?
My relationship with Hashem.
How I'm
saying
the relationship with your wife.
That's actually a great way to put it. But the bitachon that you achieve when you're at such a place is something that it's like on turbo. It's like it lights the false illusion with my wife. It's like it turns it on turbo. It's like the amount of respect and the amount of the way I look up to my wife nowadays, I would never be able to achieve this by going through day to day regular shopping and kids and like that. I'm saying that it's something else. The way she was able to she's about to give birth. She gave birth in America, which was also a crazy Saturday to Shemaya. We're debating if we should induce, meaning we should plan like that we'll go to the hospital, not in labor, and the doctor will give us Pitocin medication, and they'll we'll go into labor, we'll do it everything, we'll plan out the medications, because if I'd be going through chemo, I can't be with her when she's in the hospital. Like, I can't be with her while she's giving birth. I have to be, the 3 days I'm in chemo, I have to be in chemo. And her birth and my chemo were very, and there's no, I couldn't push it off longer. So we're thinking maybe she'll plan it, maybe it's this and that. So it was like 3 days of back and forth, and we decided Hashem took care of us until now. He's going to take care of us until, he's going to continue taking care of us. I went to chemo, I'm like, Hashem, please just give it like 2 more days, let me finish and I'll be able to be with her. Day one was fine, day two was fine. At the end of day two, it was actually a 2-day regimen that day. At the end of day two, they gave me a backpack of 4 liters of fluid to flush out the chemo from my system. And I went to sleep. Half an hour later, my wife wakes me up, time to go to the hospital. Like, it couldn't have been planned better. I wouldn't have planned it like a half an hour after chemo. Oh, it could be 2 days to recover this. That Hashem gave me the exact amount of time, the most possible time I'd been able to ever spend with my kid when she was first born until the next regimen. So it was crazy siyata d'shamayim. It was awesome. Good work, Hashem. I mean, thank God.
What's some practical advice? So besides what you went through with the cancer, what's some practical advice, based on your journey that you could give to the guys here to in their daily life, weekly, monthly?
Be considerate. Be more considerate. Saying, see your surroundings more than just yourself, because we're all going through something, but there's so much more around us. Help around. Help the people around you. Help your surroundings. Be more intuitive to what your surroundings need. And be very grateful. Be extremely, extremely grateful. Literally. You don't need cancer to be grateful, but be grateful. Every day is a gift. Every day is pure. Every day is pure. Every day is an opportunity to be the best you could be. Figure out, your tools, your kohos, and bring it every single day into this world. And be a light. Be a light on yourself. Be a light on your neighbors. Be a light on your family. Be the best you could be. Because why not? Like I'm saying, who else is going to be? It's Baal Tashkas. If you're not going to be the best you could be, then what are you doing here? Like what? Like okay, then we're going to be a regular. You're going to go through life and then die. And then what? Be the best you could be. Bring 100% every single day. Because that's all we have.
What would you say to somebody who's struggling with being the best that they can be, and someone who compares to other people, and like, what advice?
You're normal. It's okay. Take a deep breath. Focus on yourself.
Good question.
You're normal. I'm just saying. It's okay.
First of all, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you. This is more therapeutic for me. Thank you.
Zero respect. Thank you very much. I wanted to ask, you helped us a lot about the way you dealt with the marriage and how hard it was. I'm saying between you and Hashem, always there. I'm saying when you heard that, I'm saying, it's unfortunately it's a common thing these days, but still, you didn't have those thoughts of like, why me?
Of course not.
How
did
you deal with it?
I great Rebbe. Shar Bitachon. I would do Chavrusa with my brother Ram Bitachon, and a lot of deep conversations of being okay. like just being okay with it. It's tough. It's not easy to get over those thoughts into. It's weird because this, when I was saying that I hear, like, going through cancer, I felt stronger than how I felt going through the army. It's because before the army, my brother was injured, got stabbed by a terrorist, and, like, I took it to such a negative place that it derailed me completely. And, like, I was anti, I was negative, I was completely, like, I was completely off. But now I got to a place where it's like more. It's like, okay, Hashem's got you. It's pre-work, meaning it's not like you're in a bad place and then you're gonna get sick and you're gonna be in a good place. It's constant work for every day, day in, day out of, you know, everything Hashem does is for the good. Meaning, see the Hashgacha Pratis on a day-to-day basis. The fact, the coincidence that, oh my God, this exactly happened. That it's so cool. Yeah, it's so cool. He took care of it. So it's. It's more from before. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah.
Knowing that you had what you had, did you try to distract yourself by doing something to get it out of your head, or did you go through the process?
Both. I'm saying there's a lot of YouTube reels, a lot of YouTube shorts and Instagram reels, a lot of downtime, a lot of like being on the phone and watching and 100% to distract, because yes, it's very heavy. But also there was a lot of introspection and learning how to be okay with it. And I remember, like, I even told this to Rebbe. I'm like, and even if I die, I'm saying, my wife, she's pretty awesome. She'll probably find someone else. She'll take care of me. She'll be okay. She's pretty cute. And my daughter, she has her avaida, and she'll be okay. Hashem will take care of her. I'm saying, and even if I die, like, what's the worst case scenario? I die, okay. I was like, Hashem has a plan. It's crazy things to say. It doesn't make sense what I'm saying. It's not normal things to say. But that was one of the things that helped me cope with the magnitude of cancer. Yeah.
What's the biggest lesson?
The biggest lesson? That's a tough one. Be a good husband. Be a good husband. Because then, is that what's the biggest lesson I took from cancer? And that's a be a good husband because then what? Meaning, okay, then I beat cancer. I'm a bad person. But that's what I thought. I'm like, okay, but then what? So what did you really accomplish? Okay, you got healthy. Okay. But what's really meaningful? What are we here for? You need to be a good person. You need to build a good relationship with your wife. That's what life's about. You had something?
Yeah. Was there something or someone you found very helpful?
And also my wife. No, there was a couple of conversations when we had a scare, when we thought the thought came back. We had a scare that it came back, and it was like, because Chas v'Shalom, if it would have came back, there's no, it's a preventative treatment. Oh my God, the first person I called was like, oh, my parents were there, like, we cried that, but I called Rebbe, and I'm like, I could take the punches, but my kid, my wife.
In a conversation, people perhaps
are the
most
being,
like, have certain conversations.
The you have those two, three people that really make it, or like I'm saying, those people who really make a difference, that know you for who you are, and they're happy for you for when you're like for your achievements, and they're there when you need a, like, mom is there for you. Not just like a give, not just like stamma, someone that you could really open up to, and you could be vulnerable, and you could be open and honest, and try to, yeah. So, yeah.
Do you believe everything that happened to you, like, happened for a reason, and you're happy it happened to you, or like, you take it as, like, how do you take that?
I'm in the process of accepting that. I do believe that everything happened for
your
a reason.
Your relationship with your wife probably got way better.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah, but also there's, after coming back, there's also challenges. It's like, you don't think you're out of the park. I'm saying, my wife was in something that, but I when I almost died in a coma, my wife, like a day after I got out of the coma, she's texting me, like, she's like, she was in a terrible mood because she didn't eat for a week. She was sure I was dead. Like that, I was gray and cold. I'm gonna show you guys pictures. You guys, I don't mind showing pictures. Like, I was literally gray and cold. The doctor's like, this guy is no more. So, but like right at, literally right after I woke up from the coma, she's like calling me to complain about something that she was pissed off about. I'm like, can I have a minute? But no, I didn't say anything. I'm like, that's why I'm here. I woke up to be a good husband. I woke up to be a good father. I woke up to be a good person. I woke up to be to live my life the best way I could possibly be. Such a public forum.
You guys have public questions. I can't talk from my perspective
because this is what pushed me out, but yet I've seen many people that have gone through those struggles and they found that thing that helped, that made them strong. If it's everyone has their one. Everyone has something that pulls them. If it's you want to accomplish something, if you're, I don't know if you read the Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl. The psychologist went through the Holocaust and he saw that when someone has a goal and a vision and something further down the line, it actually grabs it. And it helped people survive the Holocaust. Like his writing and his psychological research took him through the Holocaust and made him like survive. That's what you cling on to. I knew it was my wife, but that's like something else by anyone else. Meaning someone, if I have a dream to, I don't know, be the best soccer player or run a triathlon or this and that and get healthy for that stuff, like people grab onto future things. Don't, like, you have to be more than just present. You have to be goal oriented and focus on the future and being, if that makes sense.
How long ago did this happen?
So I'm 2 years clean, no cancer, Baruch Hashem. I was diagnosed 3 years ago. Thank God. I'm actually going back in 2 months for scans, so that's fun. Every time I go back for scans, it's a little bit Yom Kippur, you know what I'm saying? It's like, Shem, please! Please be clean. And you have a cough like the day before your scan. I'm like, I'm dying, I'm done. Baruch Hashem. We do what we can.
How appropriate is it to say, as we'll end off, everyone create an amazing first day of the rest of your life. Thank you, Gavi. Amazing.
Thank you so much.